Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Today, of course, is Maundy Thursday. People think that Maundy Thursday is primarily about the first Eucharist and the washing of feet. The word Maundy means commandment. And Maundy Thursday comes from the commandment that Jesus gave in John 13 that we're to love one another. That's what Maundy Thursday is about. It also is the time when the first Eucharist was celebrated. They washed each other's feet as an expression of their love for each other. But Maundy Thursday means that about being reminded of the commandment for brothers and sisters in Christ to love each other. That's Maundy Thursday. I'm really looking forward to tonight because we haven't been able to do this for 2 years. And I'm really pumped about some things that God spoke into my life that I'm going to share with you tonight. Those of you who get to come back. This is from Luke chapter 22. It fascinates me, the scriptures that Bracken was reading was from John 16. And it was still part of the Upper Room Discourse. So it was still part of them having just had Eucharist together, having washed each other's feet. And so Jesus said about these disciples who were sitting around the table with him, that, Lord, and I am glorified in them. And when I hear that thing, I think, again, that is so encouraging, Lord. Because what has just happened previously is a food fight among the disciples. This is Luke chapter 22. I'll just start with verse 19. And having taken some bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying repeatedly, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying repeatedly, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is a new covenant in my blood. Behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe that man through whom he is betrayed." And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who's going to do this thing. They weren't sure of themselves. None of them were. They were so unsure of themselves, I'll repeat this a little bit tonight, that in John 13, you had Jesus sitting at the table. Judas was right next to him in a place of honor. And then so was John. And Jesus makes this statement about someone betraying him. And Peter looks over to John and whispers in his ear, "Ask him who it is." So John's head is on the breast of Jesus. And he goes, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus goes, "I'm going to dip a piece of bread and I'm going to put it in somebody's hand, and the one who takes it from me," there were 13 of them, so he couldn't reach down his arm. He wasn't like Stretch from the Fantastic Four. He does that, and he turns, and Judas takes it. Alrighty? And not one of them goes, "Oh, it's Judas." They also began to argue among themselves because they all had their own guilty conscience, which we'll talk about a little bit more tonight. So they're talking about which one of them were going to do this thing. Jesus has just said to them, "I'm going to get betrayed by one of you." They're arguing among each other that which one it might be, and then the argument changes into, and there arose a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded as the greatest. Can't you see how this conversation went? Jesus says he's going to be betrayed. One of them goes, "Well, it's not me." And, "Well, it's not me." "Well, it probably is you. I remember when you said that thing. Remember that stuff you told me that time?" So they're talking about which one it isn't. And then the guy goes, "What do you mean me? I'm going to be the greatest in the whole kingdom. And Lord, I'm glorified in them." That's what he just said a couple minutes later. And Jesus says to them, The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. And you're the sorriest bunch of disciples any person could have ever chosen. And I wish that you had never been part of the group. This small group hasn't worked out really well. But then Jesus says, but not so with you. But let him who is greatest among you become as the youngest and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I'm among you as one who serves, and you are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, leader of the small group, by the way, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And you, when once you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. And he said to them, Lord, I am with you. I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And it was one of the gospels says, Peter, you know, this came from the discussion about who was the guilty one and then who's the greatest one. And Peter, in one of the gospels, says, Lord, all these other guys, they're likely to betray you. But me, I will go to prison and even death, because you can count on me, because I am the greatest. This is the leader. And Lord, I'm glorified in them. How in the world? See, here's what's so neat to me is that they're just despicable. They're arguing about who is the one going to betray, and then they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And then Jesus uses that as a teaching moment. He doesn't even rebuke them. He just says, look, here's the deal. Those who serve are going to be greatest. Those who serve are going to be greatest. It's okay to want to be the greatest, but you got to understand how to get there. It's those who serve are going to be the greatest. And, oh, by the way, you know, I'm so proud of you because you have stood by me in my trials. And I'm going to give each of you thrones in my kingdom from which you're going to rule. What? Jesus was always calling forth the new creation. Because condemnation and judgment doesn't bring forth anything that's redemptive. But what was it? Lord, give me some insight. In them I am glorified. What is it? You just did say to the leader of the small group, and you're going to betray me three times. But I'm praying for you. I'm not mad at you. I'm praying that your faith won't fail. And when you turn again, because I know you will, strengthen your brothers. Here's the scripture that's blessed me so much. They go to Gethsemane, verse 39, and he came out and proceeded as he was accustomed to the Mount of Olives. Disciples followed him. And when he had arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and to pray, saying repeatedly, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he arose from prayer, he came to the disciples and all the other gospels say, and found them sleeping. And all of us have thought all these years, what sorry, what else, they really are a sorry lot. But this is the one place, John. Why John? He was the beloved disciple. He understood that Jesus was looking for a heart that loved him. And if he could find that, he could do anything with that person. And he rose from prayer and came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. Oh, I thought they didn't get it when they were arguing with each other who it was going to be and argue who's going to be the greatest. And then the leader just got called out, being told he's going to betray him. Maybe they thought that's who Jesus was talking about. Because they didn't get it that it was Judas. I don't know. But Lord, I've been glorified in them. How? Why? What? Because they loved him so much that even in the midst of their contradiction and their contradicting attitudes, they fell asleep because sorrow was so heavy on them. In light of what Jesus had just said, in light of how they had just behaved, and yet Jesus said that he was proud of them for standing with him in his trials and that they were going to sit on thrones, they fell asleep because of sorrow. Jesus can work with somebody like that. He can be glorified in somebody like that. Because except for Judas, no matter how many times I got it wrong, they kept getting up and following him. Jesus didn't give up on them. He believed in them. He saw their heart. Maybe sometimes you fall asleep at night in sorrow over your own contradictions. You need to understand, Jesus is speaking to you and wants to remind you about how proud he is of all those times you stood with him. All those times when you didn't betray him in your heart and your thought life. His intention and destiny for you to reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. So that when we wake up in the morning, we can put our foot on the floor and start following him again. Because he believes in us. He believes in our heart. And even if it's immature love and imperfect love, he counts it as real love. And with that kind of person, he can glorify himself in them. Amen? The first commandment for us to love each other flows out of the reality that Christ always loves him. That he loves us with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength first. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.